Welcome to Rich Black Woman, your destination to enlighten your life from the inside out, where we empower you to be rich in mind, body, and bank. Now, here's your host, Yas.
Hello and welcome. This is Yasmeen, your host of Rich Black Woman, and I'm really excited to be joined for this episode of Rich Black Woman with Tan Moore. She is a pre-licensed marriage and family therapist, a gratitude coach, a corporate workshop facilitator, a mental health and fine arts expert, and she's an author. She is truly a Renaissance woman. I've had an opportunity to attend one of her amazing events on self-care. And she's also the author of an excellent book, The Cinderella Syndrome, When the Glass Slipper No Longer Fits. And I invited Tan to come and speak to us today on Rich Black Woman because we're really wanting to emphasize it's about having a life that is both rich on the outside and the inside. And particularly right now in today's climate, just socially and with kind of the aftermath of the election and a lot of different societal things that are going on right now where a lot of women feel attacked. A lot of people are stressed out because of just kind of daily stability just doesn't seem to be there. And so I thought it'd be great to have someone come on and give us some tools and tips on how we can cope with the change that we see going on. People are feeling stressed out and uncertain. And Tan is the perfect person to do that. So welcome, Tan.
Thank you. You said I'm the perfect person. Wow, that's a great compliment coming from you. Thank you.
Well, we're excited to have you. And I really want to dive into just the topic of self-care. What is it? How you got into it? Tell us.
Okay. Well, you know, I kind of wanted to, before I get into like talking about self-care and how I got into it, I want to say one of the things that we really don't, I think, acknowledge is stress is one of those things that it can wreak havoc on every aspect of your life. And I think many of us, we don't really consider the mind-body connection, you know, the fact that we're trichotomous beings, physical, non-physical, and metaphysical. But the mind-body connection really just means that our thoughts and feelings, our beliefs, our attitudes, all of that stuff can positively or negatively affect our biological functioning. And what does that mean? Basically, is if your mind isn't right, your body probably won't be right. And a lot of people don't acknowledge that stress can affect cardiovascular health. It can, you know, some people, their skin breaks out, you know, hair. I've talked to people, their hair falls out when they get stressed. So this idea of acknowledging the effect of stress in your life is huge. And self-care for me became, I think, an inch of interest or focus for me. Because a lot of my clients, there was a theme with all of my clients, whether they were working with depression, anxiety, trauma, the theme that was almost always consistent was this level of stress, this hyper-focus on things that were happening externally, happening that they really could not control, things that they wanted to try to control, but they had no real control over it. And so I kept redirecting my clients back to the idea of what about taking care of you? What can you do? What is within your control? And through that, I really began to focus on self-care and the connection to improved physical health and improved mental health.
Well, that's perfect because it's all about the inside. And I can relate to that. You know, if you're inside, if you're feeling chaotic, it's reflected in your actions, your speech, your ability to be just yourself and on point. And so if you can't be internally stable, everything else outward, like you said, You know, it could be your skin or just your body's going to manifest that stress. And it's so important to kind of bring that peace on the inside. And that's, I know just there's this movement now of self-care. You hear the term a lot more. You see it in magazines. And we don't want it to be cliche, and we don't want it to be just some kind of trend, but really, how do we incorporate that, particularly as African-American women? We tend to, you know, I think bear so much stress and we don't talk about it. We take on that whole stereotype of the strong Black woman, I think to a fault. And we shouldn't. I think we should reach out for help more. I think we should speak up more. So how can you speak to that in terms of for Black women and self-care? What does that look like? What does that look like practically?
I think that's a great question. And the first thing you touched on, I don't want to miss that part about us hearing self-care so often that it almost feels like it's becoming a cliche.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the things that I kind of want to stand in the middle of the 405 or in the middle of the street and go, it's not a trend. It's not an option. It's literally something that is not only imperative, but I love analogies. I love kind of creating word pictures. Excuse me. And one of the things that I think about is it's like water to a garden. If you take the time to plant a seed and you really have hopes and dreams of that seed becoming a flower or a fruit tree, you have to nurture it. You have to water it. You have to make sure that it gets sun. You have to make sure that you spend time with it. And self-care is just like that. If you don't take the time to water and nurture yourself from the self-care aspect, there is no way that you can grow or maintain the life that you currently have at that level. It's a necessity. And people will confuse us. The media will confuse us and have us think that it would be very cool if once a month you went and had your nails done. Or if you, whatever your self-care regimen is, I don't want to, you know, just say that that's the only thing, but there are things that should be done on a daily basis, and we'll kind of get into that a little more later. But as Black women, we definitely have this kind of generational conditioning that we have to bear everything, and we have to not only bear everything, but we have to bear it in silence. Mm-hmm. We can't talk about it. If we talk about it or if we have feelings about it, then we're either the angry Black woman or it's like we're weak. It's like, you know, why are you talking about being sad? Why are you talking about being depressed? I mean, get over it. Get up, stop being lazy and go do something. And I think that, like you said, to a fault, that is something that is stifling us.
Yep.
And stifling our progress. It's not something that's making us stronger, because what we're doing is we're creating another generation and another generation of Black women who come after us, who not only don't stop to say, hey, you know what? I'm overwhelmed. Can I talk to you? Can I get some assistance? But they're starting to act out in ways that traditionally haven't been associated with the Black community. Things like, you know, medication or self-medication, and even the ugly, ugly word suicide. Yeah. That's coming into our community now because we don't feel like we have options or like we can go and talk to anyone. So this idea of Black women feeling like they have to do it all, I would love it if we could have another discussion about that at some point in time, because it's not helping us as a community. We have to rely on each other.
Yeah, well, good points. And definitely that should be a follow-up, because you hit the nail on the head in terms of passing on almost a generational curse of doing too much, of being a super strong Black woman, of being the woman who copes in silence. And so I love that you brought that to mind, because that's not something that we think about, right?
Right.
And think about that we are setting a model, an example for other young Black girls on a healthy way to cope with the stresses of life that will come. They will surely come.
Yes.
And I think that, you know, for us as Black women too, we tend to rely on spirituality to combat stress, which is a good thing, whether it's our churches or our mosque or whatever that spiritual place is that you go to.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, let's explore how does spirituality play a role in relieving stress for better or for worse, hopefully for better. But I think sometimes we just say, oh, well, let's just pray it away.
Yes.
But I don't think that prayer is powerful. We certainly do that. What are other things to do to activate that, you know, that place of spirituality?
And I recently read an article on this very topic, and the article was talking about how in the Black community, we have a tendency toward praying, towards going to church or going to the mosque or, you know, some of those things instead of striving to pursue or meeting with or, I don't know, anybody that's a professional, a therapist, a life coach, something to that effect. We would rather go to church and kind of pretend like our problems can be cured or remedied by just being in that setting or praying. And one thing I want to say is spiritual relationships are as individual as snowflakes. I mean, ideally, a spiritual relationship plays a role in relieving stress because, you know, consciously that person, that disciple or that practitioner or that student of whatever religion we're talking about, ideally, they're consciously aware that sometimes you plant a seed and you water it, but God gives the increase. So that's an ideal relationship. But often, I'm not saying always, but often women with strong ties, they have lower stress. You know, that they have those spiritual ties, that they have lower stress because they get it. They get that at some point you have to activate your faith and you have to trust that things are going to work out. So I'm going to go to bed and I'm not going to worry about it. And, you know, my mother's from the South and she'll say that kind of stuff all the time. Well, you know, yeah. It's in God's hands now. I'm not going to worry about it. And so some women do have that capacity because they have that relationship with the God of their understanding. Right. And however, people have to be honest. And if you're at a place where you're so sad that you can't get out of bed, or you're so anxious, or you're so stressed out that you can't function and you can't think, seeking professional counsel or getting that support is not a sin. It's not a sin. It's not something that is going to be frowned upon. In fact, I think that you can be of better use to your spiritual community once you kind of process those things out in an unbiased environment, you know, with a professional who doesn't necessarily have ties to what it is you believe in, and you can be a better servant and a better steward of your own personal gifts and your own challenges when you have that additional support that has nothing to do with what your religious beliefs are.
Right.
One of the things that I remember when you asked this question, I had an uncle and, you know, he's deceased now, but he used to tell this joke, and the joke was basically, there was a flood happening and, you know, it started to rain and a car came by and the lady said, "No, I'm going to wait on God to come." And the car left and the flood, you know, the waters kept rising, and finally a boat came by and, you know, invited her to get on. And she said, no, God's going to take care of it. Now she's standing on the roof of the house at this point. And the helicopter comes and says, please get on. We're getting everybody out. We're evacuating. And she said, no, God's going to come and take care of this. And my uncle would joke, you know, the lady woke up in heaven and she questioned God about that. She said, "God, why wouldn't you save me? Why wouldn't you help me? I trusted you. And God said, I sent you a car. I sent you a boat. I sent you a helicopter. So this is one of those things that we have to make sure that we keep in perspective. Everything, if you understand the way God works, you know, this is the way I see it. God is in everything.
Yeah.
So if you know that it's raining and you don't get in the car, the boat, or the helicopter, that's not God's responsibility. God is sending you a lifeboat, a life jacket, as it were, to help you out of these situations that we find ourselves in. So I hope that that kind of answers the question. I would hope that we would incorporate our beliefs in healing ourselves from an inside out perspective, not make the two separate.
Well, the church said amen. No, I think that's great. I really like the fact that you tapped on that self-care is not a sin and therapy isn't a sin, because I do hear that a lot, that for us, there's some sense of shame or like, hey, I think because as people, we go through so much anyways, that we kind of almost take pride in being able to just dust it off, you know, pop your collar and keep it moving. But that's not necessarily healthy if you do need to stop, regroup, get some support, get some help, vent, whatever you need to do to release. You know, it makes me think of A Different World, one of my all-time favorite shows. And I can remember Whitley saying during some episode where she was really stressed out, she said, relax, relate, release.
Yes.
You know? And that's what we need to do. We need to relax. We need to relate to other people, and we need to release that. So how can we release that, Tan? Do you suggest like a morning routine, a daily routine? You mentioned like, yeah, you get your nails did once a month, but that's once a month. We're out here fighting 24/7 just to make it. So what can we do? Because we need to think new day with a new perspective every day.
Yes, absolutely. And you talked about relax, relate, release. That's also one of my favorite Different World episodes. And I'm currently doing a series, and everyone can check it out on my website. But there's a blog that I'll be doing a series called Riri and Me, series on doing you until you get it right. And it's all about explaining how to regularly, like, you know, in a regular way, not once a month, not every now and then, not someday or when you get a moment, but as a pattern, as a habit, how to keep your mind on the matter that is you. Mm-hmm. So what I'll be doing is I'll be taking the word, the prefix RE, and I'll be examining that, because that essentially talks about to do something again and again. That's what RE means. And it also talks about in the matter of, you know, if you're talking about legal jargon or in an email, it means in the matter of. So in the matter of you, how do you do that over and over again? Making yourself the priority. Because without making yourself the priority, you can't really focus on all the other things you need to show up for. Not for very long. At some point, something has to give. So we start talking about how do you do that? Because again, self-care is becoming this cliche. People are throwing it around, but there's not a lot of how do I do that? There's not a lot of details in how do I take care of myself? How do I implement that? So you brought something up that's super important. A morning routine. Starting your day the way you're going to complete your day and go through your entire day. A morning routine. First thing in the morning, what can you do? So what I would recommend, and it's different for everyone, of course, but I would say one of the biggest stress reducers that I see that works for my clients, and they're always shocked, is journaling. Taking 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 2 minutes, and writing your thoughts, your hopes, your affirmations for the day in a journal. And just taking that time, whether it's at the kitchen table with your coffee or in your bedroom before you get up, and just writing down some thoughts, you know? And my biggest joy in doing like journaling workshops and doing individual work with clients with journaling is they say, well, why does journaling work? Or why do you think it works? Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like a mirror and an affirmation that hits you all at once. You write these words down. They're very reflective. They reflect the thoughts that you have. And sometimes you don't know that those thoughts are there until you begin to write. So
okay.
It's very much like a mirror that you're afraid to look in, or because of all the clutter and the noise and the busyness, you for the first time get a chance to look in the mirror and go, oh, that's what I was thinking and feeling. And then it has an affirmation energy. We all know, I don't know if there are any fans out there of Being Mary Jane, but I'm a fan. And she's one of those people. I like the show. It's very complex. And there are some things in there that are challenging. And some people write about it like, wait, why does she have to do that? But the thing that I gravitate toward is this woman is a fully realized individual. She's not perfect, but she keeps moving. She keeps taking steps. And her catalyst on a daily basis are the affirmations. She has little sticky notes all over her house. And it's like, we can stop. We can get stuck at some of the things that Mary Jane does wrong. But at the end of the day, she takes that time and looks at those words, looks into herself, uses that affirmation, and she continues to move her feet.
Well, look at that. Who would have thought Mary Jane would be teaching us about self-care? You know, I never thought about that. And I am a Mary Jane groupie. I must admit that is one of my favorite shows. Can't wait for the new season to start.
Same.
And I love that. Absolutely love that. Just the visualization of using the affirmations. And then your point that she's flawed, but she's moving forward still.
Yes.
And I love the fact that the affirmations are both a reflection of your true feelings inside, but then you can turn that around, right? And focus in on the good and focus in on your goals and what's affirming about yourself so you can go out and slay all day like Mary Jane does.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And Mary Jane, I think, outside of being, you know, she's a fictional character, but I think most of us, maybe our manifestations aren't exactly like Mary Jane's. Maybe we have a different job or we express ourselves differently in a relationship. But I think we're all looking for that thing that keeps us moving. When things get really hard and it seems like everything is stacked up against us, that's when we need to figure out a way to continue to move. And that's when stress is highest. That's when your stress levels get really out of control. And you talked earlier about the political climate. Now, the political climate, especially for women, it's been very stressful. It's been very tense. But at the end of the day, ladies, we cannot change the outcome of the election in a direct way. Like, we can't snap our fingers. We can't argue our way out of it. We can't debate our ways out of this current outcome. But what we can do is we can get together. We can organize. We can invest. We can create strategies to take these things that we see that are not necessarily pleasant and don't make us feel great about the future of our nation, of our community, of our government. We can take those things and say, well, what can I do right where I am and in my community to make things better? That's within our control. That decreases stress because you are being active and you do what you can do. You get in where you fit in. And like Gandhi said, you have to become the change you wish to see in the world. It's not an outside thing. It's an inside thing. Yeah. So if we start there, our stress levels are going to be better. They're going to decrease. And we're going to have this reframe. We're going to have a shift in our thinking and the way we see things. Because we do have power, just not the kind of power that that we sometimes want to have, which again causes that stress and causes us to neglect self-care as well.
Oh, that's really good, Tan. Just in terms of recentering and then focusing in on what you can do. Because I think sometimes the tendency, I know I've talked to a lot of different friends of mine, and they'll, some of them say, you know, well, it's just too much going on, like the daily headlines. So I've totally tapped out, you know, I've already tapped out. And, you know, for me, I think I've had the opposite response where I've been like, what you suggested, what can I do? How can I make a difference in my community and my backyard? Whether it's, you know, calling up my local elected officials, which I do on many occasions, girl, I have it in my contacts now, call up my elected official and say, hey, you know, and whether or not, like, sometimes I have doubts of like, okay, you know, he's not listening to me, whatever. But the fact that I am being proactive, the fact that I am lifting my voice and saying what I want and making sure that it goes to the person who is in power. And that I also have the ability to influence that. So I feel like that's such great advice to let people kind of reflect in on, okay, well, what can I do? You know, is it developing a self-care support group, you know, of other friends of mine who are, have shared different things. And that's something that I feel like we could do as women anyways, like regardless of who is in office or what's going on, we need that. We need that sisterhood and we need that connection to really re-energize and to take the load off, right? Like it's so much easier when you can share and commune with other sisters who say, you know what, I went through the same thing, or have you thought about this? Or they simply just listen and encourage you.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think women together, when we're working together, we are so powerful. We can literally do anything when we're working together. And this idea of having a self-care support group, I think it's a great idea. My hope would be that the focus will be on us really digging in and figuring out ways to be consistent with self-care, because the tendency is to, you know, it becomes a social group and we start hanging out and then people don't see value in it and people stop showing up. And so my hope is that something like that can happen. And I'd love to work with you on, you know, developing something like that. The other thing, ladies, if you're out there listening and you're wondering, okay, she talked about journaling. She talked about this morning routine. The other thing is don't underestimate the power of breathing. Just stopping to take a breath, a deliberate and aware breath. I have a good friend of mine who's a yoga instructor, and, you know, that's what she does. But one of the discussions we were having is that a lot of people smoke. They chain smoke, not just because they're addicted, but also because it causes them to stop, slow down, and they breathe. They breathe in and they breathe out. They inhale and they exhale, and they do it consciously and deliberately. If we were to stop and do that when we felt a little bit of anxiety or just as a preventative kind of, you know, a preventative breath, something that, hey, I'm starting my day. Hey, I'm about to walk into work. Hey, I'm about to deal with these people who are difficult to deal with. Let me stop. Let me stop and take a breath. And this is kind of like the cycle. You want to breathe in for 5 seconds and breathe out for 10 seconds, or breathe in for 4 seconds and breathe out for 8 seconds. Whatever you do in, you double it going out. And it becomes kind of like a game, like a breathing game. But the results are instant, and the results are, they're amazing. So journaling, breathing, these are kind of self-care things that you do that don't cost you anything. It doesn't require any real effort on your part. The time commitment, it's a short time commitment. It could be 30 seconds. It could be 30 minutes. It's completely up to you. But all the power, we have it within to take care of ourselves and take care of the world around us.
Well, on that note, I think that's awesome. Way to close this is to focus in on all that we have, it's already in us, and we just need to focus in on it and activate it. And I love the reminder to breathe. It ties back into the relaxing, the relating, the releasing. I love the idea, like I said, of the journaling and mirroring that and reflecting that back. And I'm so glad you said it, Tan, but the Rich Black Woman Self-Care Support Group, I think you're onto something, and let's make that happen.
Yes.
So ladies out there, tune in for more details on that. And Tan, tell us how folks can get in contact with you. I know that you do, I mean, everything from playwriting to counseling to workshops, and you have this great book, The Cinderella Syndrome, which I have read, and I've also given it to my sister and other women who have benefited from it. How can people get in contact with you if they want to reach out, have you come and do a self-care retreat, or how can we get in contact?
So everyone, please visit my website at TanyikaMoreHealingArts.com. That's TanyikaMoore HealingArts.com. And a lot of people are saying, well, I thought your name was Tan. Tan is the name that all of my friends and everyone very close to me, everyone calls me Tan. But when I decided to create the website, I wanted my birth name to be represented. So that's why people will see TanyikaMoreHealingArts.com, because, of course, I am passionate about the healing arts. The blog series, Riri and Me, will begin July 3rd. You can find that on the blog section of that website, TanyikaMoreHealingArts.com. If you'd like to have me come out and do a speaking engagement or host a retreat or, you know, anything of that nature, you can also reach me on the website. You can fill out the form at the end, or you can call me at 661-347-1790.
Awesome. Well, thank you for being with us for this edition of Rich Black Woman, enriching your lives from the inside out in mind, body, and bank. And you can hit us up on our social media sites, Instagram at Rich Black Woman and Facebook, Rich Black Woman. So thank you for joining us, and we'll talk to you real soon.
Bye.